Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Reading from Fox News right now, the Chyron, Hamas fires hundreds of rockets into Israel. I'm a little blown away by the misinformation that is being put out there, not just by the media, but by celebrities on social media, people putting up these infographics that really do not tell you the whole story. And Nancy Pelosi actually release. I don't know if this was a written statement or something she said, but she said, but the statement reads, I condemn the escalating and indiscriminate rocket attacks by Hamas against Israel. Israel has the right to defend herself against this assault, which is designed to sow terror and undermine prospects for peace. I'm sure Representative Ilhan Omar, who Nancy Pelosi once posed on the cover of the Rolling Stone with, would disagree with that statement, but we will wait on that. I did promise this for a long time. I'm not going to hold out anymore. You guys were very patient with me. And so it's time for the Martha's Vineyard scoopage. Now, first, let's start with the story itself. The New York Times reports that the Biden administration approves nation's first major offshore wind farm. I have to give credit here. This story first broke in Producer's Picks, where a lot of breaking news comes down the wire. And I immediately thought to myself, I think this had happened once before on the Cape. You know, you started seeing all those bumper stickers. I'm sure people remember it in New England. I was kind of younger. But it was kind of funny because they wanted to produce all this wind energy. But then the beautiful people down the Cape didn't want to look at these windmills from their fancy estates. So there was back and forth. Well, the beautiful people in Martha's Vineyard trump the beautiful people on the Cape, let me tell you. I mean, they've got Obama. They've got John Kerry. They've got, I think Spike Lee has a house down Martha's Vineyard. This is, beautiful people does not do it justice. These are millionaires, billionaires, and they are as liberal as you can imagine. Now, construction on the nation's first commercial scale offshore wind farm is expected to begin this summer. Because that's what all the summer people like, is when construction starts in the summer.
Especially after you haven't been able to do anything for a year.
Exactly. After the Biden administration gave final approval Tuesday to a project it hopes will herald a new era of wind across wind energy across the United States. The Vineyard Wind Project calls for up to 84 turbines to be installed in the Atlantic Ocean, about 12 nautical miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, Mass. Now, that's New York Times, their take on it. And it's all wonderful. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, so much energy. It's 800 megawatts of electricity, enough to power about 400,000 homes. Here's the real story. Donald Trump's statement. Congratulations to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts for the privilege they will have in looking at massive windmills that have been approved by the Biden administration and are being built in China, of course, as part of an extraordinarily large wind farm. Wind is an incredibly expensive form of energy that kills birds, affects the sea, ruins the landscape, and creates disasters for navigation. Liberals love it, but they can't explain why. In any event, Martha's Vineyard, an absolutely wonderful place, will never be the same. Good luck. When I tell you guys that I want to frame that and put it in my office, I am not exaggerating. And I love Martha's Vineyard, but it goes back to this idea because I think there's a lot of people who are responsible for the Joe Biden presidency. Obviously, the voters. But there's different groups, you know. There's the voters who really just, like I said before about the infographics, they read things on social media and they go based off that. The misinformed, you know, low info. They read things and they just assume that what CNN tells them is the truth. But then there's another group, and that's like the Martha's Vineyard people. And those people might drive me more crazy than anyone else because they can afford all of this nonsense to an extent. They don't think it's ever really going to, the chickens are not going to come home to roost. So they vote to feel good and to go to the yacht club and tell people, I voted for Joe Biden and Orange Man bad and all these things. So when things happen where it's like, well, good, this is your guy. This is who you voted for. And I know how angry they're going to be, you know, that it's actually starting to affect their life and their ocean and their view. It makes my heart feel good. I feel all warm and fuzzy inside, you know? What can I say? Maybe I'm evil. By the way, I talked a little bit about how we can play a game called What If This Were Trump? And I try to avoid playing it because you just get lost. I mean, there's no the level of hypocrisy with how the media covers Joe Biden. But Alex Berenson was playing this game and he said, these days I like to play a little game I call How Would This Be Reported If Trump Were President? And then in all caps, inflation hits highest point in decades as president interferes with Fed. Israel and Hamas near war. Trump has no response. Kushner probably to blame. Murders on track to reach 24-year high. White House will not comment. Entire Southeast faces crippling gasoline shortage. Trump gulfs. And as a lot of people were pointing out today, just keep in mind, we're only 5 months in. Did you see that picture that Joe Biden posted? She's by herself. They keep posting. This is what drives me crazy. It's like all the worst elements of the Obama administration are back. But this time, instead of Obama, it's this feeble old white man. But it's they still have the same level of narcissism that the Obama administration had. So Dr. Jill, the good doctor, our Surgeon General, as Whoopi Goldberg might say, she posted a photo, a White House photo of her walking in the White House, like probably near the Rose Garden. And it's just, it's the back of her. So it's, you know, her little trench coat and her high heels, whatever she's wearing. And she said something like, 100 days in, we're just getting started. And everyone is thinking, oh, we know. And that is the scariest prospect I've ever heard. You've done so much damage and it's only 5 months. And I just want to add here that a lot of people I talk to, listeners, people who reach out to me, they have a passionate dislike for Dr. Jill because they feel like, especially wives out there, women, they feel like, I would never do this to my husband. I would never put him through this. I was actually talking with someone yesterday whose significant other is struggling with dementia, and he made a great point. He said, when you talk about Joe Biden and how his cognitive decline, please be sensitive to the fact that there's a lot of people who struggle with this. And I totally understand that. And it's a horrible thing to lose somebody to that disease. And I don't ever want to make light of Joe Biden, you know, falling off or whatever's happening with him. I don't know technically what's happening, but it's clear something's happening. But I do think there's a big part of this where it's like, why did Dr. Jill allow this? The guy's almost 80 years old. He should be by the pool. I always say that. It's a bad reference, the pool. He should be outside in the sun enjoying his retirement. And instead, he's on Zoom calls with people where he has no idea what's going on. He openly says out loud, like, I don't know what we're really supposed to be doing here. Someone's going to give me a... It's sad. That's all I can say about it. We have a lot of sound to get to today. We have a lot more to talk about. Believe it or not, I'm not going to be focusing too much on Liz Cheney. I don't find it that interesting. She gave a little speech today. The most telling part about Liz Cheney is that no Republicans defended her today. Not even like the swampy Republicans, because they know that she is political poison, that their voters, their constituents do not want them siding with Liz Cheney. It's a losing game. And yet, like Claire McCaskill and Mika Brzezinski think that we should all be rallying around her, that she is the future. Strange how that works. We'll play a lot of sound on the other side. We have some Biden sound and some other things I think you guys will be interested in. John Kerry talking about solar panels, all that good stuff. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. But when you do, pollen creeps in. Right, Jared?
Yes, it does. This was a tough one today when I went outside. But luckily, I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, so allergies are not as crippling for me as they used to be. Because what the thunderstorm does is, after you plug it in, it's super easy. Grace has it in her hands. You just plug it in, you turn the knob to your desired settings, and almost immediately, the air around you starts getting purified and cleaned. And I mean purified, not covered up, not, you know, getting rid of odor. No, it is clean air. It is super oxygenated, ionized air. It's clean air that you're breathing. It gets rid of any allergens. It gets rid of pollutants. It gets rid of some viruses. It's just amazing the difference between breathing good quality air.
For pollen, pet, kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or any unwanted odors, you need the Thunderstorm. Just like Jared said, it's a great product. And right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. Grace, we have a little bit of journalism in the news coming up, and I think you guys are not going to be surprised by this one bit. We'll be back on the other side. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
You know, yesterday we were playing a lot of 70s music because of the gas lines. That was a throwback. But we have a lot of groovy music anyway, Jared. I think our bumpers are pretty hot.
Yeah, we didn't stray too outside the normalcy zone yesterday, but, you know.
Yes, exactly. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Allergy season is here and you need the Thunderstorm air purifier. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE to save $10 off their lowest sale price. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite Biden administration euphemism? Is it border challenge, overheated economy, or supply crunch?
No, of course there are more we left out. I wrote about the birthing people comment, but that wasn't really the Biden administration. That was Representative Cori Bush. They've used a ton of euphemisms. The liberals have really become the party of semantics and parsing words. I'm going to say the crunch, because I love saying that word into the microphone. Crunch.
Supply crunch polling at 21%, still in second place. Border challenge at 69%. For first overall, and overheated economy at 10%.
And it's funny because I think our next sound cut really does play into this exact thing. Without further ado, it is time for journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All right, well, this really does, the journalist here is actually not the problem. It is the semantics secretary, press secretary that we have. This is a question that Jen Psaki just received, and her answer, first of all, I like to just prep these so you guys can keep your ears perked for a couple things. One is the condescension. If she ever tells you that there's a lot packed into your question, that means you asked her something she does not want to answer, and she's trying to diffuse any sort of productivity. Like, she doesn't want your question to actually make an impact, so she has to throw in a, wow, that's really something there. And then also, the big whopper comes towards the end. So let's play it.
This is Shelby Talcott from the Daily Caller asking the question.
So does this reflect the White House's thinking that the goal is for Americans to view the president as moderate as he pursues, according to the, quote, the most liberal agenda that we've seen?
There was a lot packed into that question. Must have taken some time to write. I will say that our goal is to implement solutions as it relates to the challenges at the border and not to be caught up in semantics of what we call it. Because at the end of the day, what we've seen is a massive reduction in the number of children who are being detained in Border Patrol facilities thanks to the actions of this administration.
We wouldn't want semantics, and that's why I don't want to call it a crisis. I'd rather call it a border situational challenge.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
I am so annoyed with her. I cannot even tell you anymore. I am at my wit's end, Jared.
Ministry of Truth 101 gaslighting is what's happening right now.
She is the... You know what, Jared? I'm sorry. I'm insufferable today with my plugs, but I wrote about her being a gaslighter. She is one of the best gaslighters I've ever seen in action. I mean, the way that she belittles the journalist when they ask a good question, that must have taken you a long time to write. Well, yeah, it's my job to ask you questions, so I worked on it. I'm sorry it wasn't as good of a question as, is President Biden going to change the color scheme on Air Force One? Not all of us can come up with those zingers.
Wow, that's a long question. You must be so sad and tired all the time.
That's a really long question. I'm going to have to unpack that. She's a classic buying time. And I tell this story a lot. My younger brother gets kind of annoyed that I tell it so much. But when we were younger, I'm one of four. And my older brother's, you know, was very academic. He was a good student. My younger sister's very bright. She was a good student. Me and my other brother, who were kind of in the middle, we struggled a little bit with school. And my mom used to sit with my brother every single morning and study with him and go over things. And every time she'd ask him a question, it could be anything. Who was the 16th president of the United States? He would repeat it back to her and go, whoa, wow, you said that really fast. Who was the 16th president of the United States? And it would drive my mom crazy because she'd be like, stop repeating the question back. You're buying time for yourself. And it's so incredibly obvious. That is what this administration is doing. Every time she says to them something like, oh, wow, by the way, congratulations on getting married this weekend. And yeah, by the way, that was a crazy question. That was really long. And wow, we're really going to have to unpack that. You must have spent a lot of time writing that. Tick, 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 tick. The clock is ticking. What's the answer? Do you have one? No. This kind of stuff drives me crazy. And they want to talk about how Trump was a gaslighter and how, you know, all these Republicans are gaslighters. Nobody gaslights like Jen Psaki, except for maybe Andrew Cuomo. But he has a whole other slew of issues to worry about. Speaking of journalism in the news, CNN is avoiding the Israel-Hamas conflict during prime time. But they spent over 90 minutes talking about Liz Cheney. So keeping their eye on the prize, they always know what's important. Oh, and I love this for journalism. So I have one picture here of cars lined up. And this guy took the photo of the gas line and said, this is crazy. I stopped for gas just now, having no idea what was happening. It's out. People here told me they'd been to other stations and found the same. Now, we've seen this. A lot of, you know, gas stations are running out. New York Times says, Colonial Pipeline, a vital U.S. fuel artery that was shut down by a cyber attack, said it hoped to restore most operations by the end of the week. Since the shutdown, there have been no long lines or major price hacks for gas. Here's what to know. It's not so much that the Biden administration spews propaganda and spin stories. That's their job, you know. What do you expect? And to a certain extent, what do you expect from Jen Psaki? That is her job. She's supposed to be a spin master. But it's the willingness of the media to just regurgitate this sheer propaganda. It would make the reporters in China blush, because they just there's no honesty left in the press. But I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. When we get back, we will be playing an excellent interview with Derek Hunter from Town Hall. I swear he might be one of my favorite guests we ever have. He's so on point and he's so hilarious. Do not miss it. We'll be right back. It's Wednesday. I'm feeling good, and it's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited about our next guest. He's one of my favorite guests to have on because he's very sassy, but he's also very informative. Derek Hunter from Town Hall, at Derek A. Hunter on Twitter. Derek, thank you so much for joining me today.
Always a pleasure, Grace. Thanks for having me. If only there was something going on in the world to talk about.
Well, here's the thing. I know you just recently wrote about Liz Cheney, and I've written pieces about that too. And I mean, it is an interesting look at both the media's obsession and how easily distracted the American people are based off this, you know, not really that important of a story. And I actually thought, Derek, you put it in a really good way because you said, who was the person in Liz Cheney's position before Liz Cheney? And most people could not name that person who is the third highest ranking person in the GOP. I know I could not. And that kind of gives you a good sense of how this is not that big of a story as the media is trying to make us believe it is.
No, it's not. By the way, the answer is Kathy McMorris Rodgers. I only know that because I looked it up before. I figured I should know the answer to a snarky question before I ask it, but it's really, it illustrates how unimportant the position is. It's a figurehead. James Clyburn is considered to be in Democratic leadership, but nobody ever really talks about him in those terms because the number three in charge doesn't matter all that much. And Liz Cheney's biggest mistake was she spent all of her time firing down her own trench. And if you're trying to lead leaderships, to lead people, you can't spend your time telling them half of them are terrible. Imagine Eisenhower the day before the D-Day invasion. He gives the stirring speech that we all know, but in the middle of it, he throws in there, you know, you're about to fight fascism and free the world. And unless you're from California, you people are jerks. I don't like you. People from Utah are pretty bad, too. So if the rest of you get fired upon, maybe duck behind somebody from California. If they die, we don't really care. I don't think that even people from Nevada would be going, well, that's inspiring. I think they'd go, maybe he doesn't secretly like us. I don't want to follow this guy. So that's what Liz Cheney did. She's only getting attention because of her complaining, like John McCain. She's sitting down with Savannah Guthrie tomorrow. She's sitting down with Bret Baier tomorrow. She'll probably be down with everybody tomorrow. And nobody wanted to talk to her before this. Nobody wants to talk to her about anything other than this. That's the problem. You're not a leader when you're firing down your own trench.
I totally agree. And like you said, there are actual big issues to talk about. And I find it amazing that CNN is kind of bending themselves in a pretzel to avoid, you know, at one point it was the border crisis and they could avoid that. You know, they're experts at kind of dodging and weaving when it comes to these stories. But now there's more. And you've pointed this out several times. There's inflation. There's gas lines. There's Israel-Palestine. There's jobs numbers. Or I said gas lines, Derek, please forgive me. I meant the gas crunch. But
yeah.
Do you think they're going to have to start reporting on some of this soon?
No. No, not at all. Are you kidding me? They get to decide. This is why they hate talk radio, Grace, as you know. This is why they hate conservative media online. They're used to cutting something, throwing it on the cutting room floor, and nobody knowing about it. Now the world gets to see what's on the cutting room floor, and it's kind of important when it costs you a lot more money to fill up your car, provided you could find gas. They don't want people to talk about that. They want people to talk about inner squad scrambling in the Republican Party. They want to show Republicans in quote unquote disarray. There's no disarray. They sound pretty unified behind getting rid of
Liz Cheney. And Derek, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but nobody defended her, which is a really good sense that everyone's kind of on the same page. Something you brought up recently, I think you either wrote it or maybe it was on your Twitter, but I thought, wow, that's really true, and it's really insightful. You said The difference, everyone keeps making this comparison to the Biden administration and the Carter administration. And you said that the Carter administration was inept and they were disorganized and they were dysfunctional. But you think the difference is the Biden administration, this is all very purposeful. Can you kind of go into that and why you have that theory?
Well, Carter was incompetent. He was trying his best. He really thought that what he was doing would work. Turn down your thermostats and put on a sweater. The general malaise speech. Now we know that what he was doing failed. We lived, well, the rest of the country lived through it if you're old enough. The Biden administration knows exactly what they're doing. This is by design. They are from the Build Back Better coalition. The idea that the United States is so fundamentally flawed, fundamentally racist, fundamentally misogynistic, whatever you choose your latest victim status from the left to be. And you can't reform something that is fundamentally wrong or evil, in your opinion. You have to destroy it. So they do it under the name of compassion. We're trying to help people. As things get worse, people demand dramatic change, and then they get their way. That's how it works. Nobody would settle for, I want to get rid of capitalism, from somebody who said, capitalism is wonderful. It's the greatest, fairest system in the world. But if you convince people that it's awful and it's corrupt and it doesn't work, and then you set about to make sure that you keep throwing sand in the gears of capitalism, and it comes to a screeching halt because of your interference, they say, see, I told you so. Now we've got a better way. You have to ruin it in order to replace it, because the left doesn't want reforms. They want replacement. It's scary that it works.
Yeah, and you bring up such a good point, because I noticed that with the jobs report. Here I am thinking, oh my gosh, thank God people are going to finally see how badly Biden is hurting the economy. And instead he comes out and he's like, did you guys see that jobs report? This is exactly why we need more of what I've been doing. And I'm sitting there going, oh no, I didn't see this part coming, which I should have. Derek, one thing I love, love, love about your writing is that you're never afraid to say what people are thinking, but maybe they wouldn't say because it might offend people. And one of your latest headlines really caught my eye. You said, why are we reuniting kids with their really awful parents? And you're talking about the, I call it a crisis at the border. I know Jen Psaki calls it a challenge or a situation. But let's talk a little bit about this. Secretary Mayorkas calls these parents loving parents who send their nine-year-olds, across these long treks to get to the United States. You break down exactly why there is such a double standard. And if parents in America were doing this to their kids, they would be in jail. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Remember, I think it was 2017, the couple in Silver Spring, Maryland, who let their 10 and 7-year-old walk to a park that was a mile away from their house. They're free-range parents. They let the kids walk to the park on their own. Child Protective Services was called. The parents went through all sorts of hassles. They almost lost custody of their children. Nothing happened to the kids. Nothing. But they were free-range parents. Now imagine you send your kid on a 2,000-mile march up the Mexico to the border with nothing but maybe a phone number stuck in their pocket, and they're 5 years old, and you just gave them you actually paid a stranger thousands of dollars to march them up Mexico. They meet at the border in the world's dumbest game of Red Rover, thanks to the Biden administration, and they're met with loving arms, three hots in a cot, and a government willing to move heaven and earth to track down whoever paid the human smugglers and paid no attention to them for the 3 weeks it took to march that long. We'll give them a plane ticket, a train ticket, a bus ticket, whatever it is, and we won't ever go, hey, you know what? You just committed massive child abuse. And these human smugglers are known for abusing and molesting and raping young girls. Maybe you're not the best parent in the world. Maybe we should check your status, because if you're sending for your kid from Guatemala, the odds of you having a visa here, not super high, because you could just fly back there and pick up your kid and come back for the $7,000 you gave the human smugglers. And we're not asking those questions. We're not doing those things. We're just sending them off in a way that makes it seem like we're really compassionate and care deeply about reuniting these families. I'm all for reuniting families. on the plane back home. They can meet each other at the gate. But it is, if you marched your kid off from Boston to Chicago, you would be arrested immediately for child abuse. If you send your kid from El Salvador to Texas, you are treated as a conquering hero who has more compassion than anybody in human history. It's bizarre to me. I think that these parents should lose their parental rights. The children should be put up for adoption. And you watch how quickly these marches of these children stop.
Yeah, that's the part of the article that really resonated with me, because everyone's trying to figure out these solutions for what's happening, and all of the solutions don't actually get to the root causes, as Kamala Harris has been trying to find for months now. The root cause is Joe Biden, of course, but you say you do this for two reasons. First, do it enough times and people will stop putting their kids through this horror. That makes a lot of sense. You have to try to set up a deterrent. Otherwise, why wouldn't parents do this if they see that not only are their kids going to be taken care of, but they're going to be, as you said, exalted as these wonderful people? Then it's just going to continue to happen.
Well, it worked under the Trump administration. You marched up Mexico, you were greeted and told you can't come in, wait over there, or if you made it in, you were sent back. And people who just spent thousands of dollars to be smuggled up said, well, I'm not going to do that again. Now, because they know that as soon as they get here, they're not allowed in. Now they're allowed in. There's literally nothing stopping them. There's no discouragement aside from the old senile man in the White House going, don't come a couple of times in an interview. It's not exactly a deterrent.
It's a little bit more of a deterrent. Derek, it's a little bit more of a whisper. Don't come in. I'm telling you,
yeah.
Don't come.
I've said it before. I mumbled it once to myself in the bathroom. I don't know why they didn't hear it. Well, because you said it on the debate stage, come now. That's kind of a bigger microphone. But and your actions. I love how the left always says our immigration system is broken. No, our immigration system is working just fine. It's just, or would work just fine if they actually enforce the law. Imagine you have a nice clock. And you open up the back of it, it's working fine, you take a couple of gears out. Well, that clock's not going to work fine. When you choose not to enforce certain parts of our immigration law, our immigration system is broken. Well, maybe you look at the guy with the hammer beaten on the immigration system that's breaking it. Don't trust him to fix it. That's what the left has done. That's what some on the right have done, too, is they've broken the system by refusing to enforce the law, and then they complain and say, we need to replace the system.
Now, the last thing I want to ask you, I'm speaking with Derek Hunter from Town Hall. You can follow him on Twitter at Derek A. Hunter. Your thoughts on Israel and Palestine, the growing conflicts, and also really the Biden administration's stunning silence on this. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't want to play the game of what if this were Trump, because at this point, it's just a ridiculous even idea. But it is just as take Trump out of the equation. It's still pretty amazing to see a president not comment on something like this.
Well, if he commented, he would either come out on the side of Israel defending itself from a terrorist organization trying to kill its citizens, which would offend his base, or he'd appeal to his base, which would offend normal human people, and so he can't win. And Joe Biden is, his handlers are very smart in making sure that they don't play games they can't win. And everybody knows that true leadership is only involving yourself in situations where you can win. Wait, that's not right, but it's true.
Yeah, that's the Andrew Yang. That's a lesson he just learned, which I'll get to later. That's a topic I'll get to later in the show. Derek, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're always tight on time. You're a very busy man, and I so appreciate it.
Thank you, Grace.
All right, guys, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Remember yesterday I was talking about the comparisons between Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden. And as the gas lines grow longer and longer, the comparisons become more clear.
But I was having a conversation with the mailroom manager, or as I've started calling her, MRM. And she said to me, that might be a fun segment, asking people, what is their biggest voting regret? And the reason that that came up is because Howie Carr voted for Jimmy Carter at one point. And I tell people that all the time, because I know it makes Howie wince in pain when he thinks about it. So then I was wondering, and I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe we'll get some calls. Maybe we won't on this. But if you have a voting regret, if you have a time in your life where, you know, you got lured in by maybe the liberal nice talk and, oh, everything's going to be roses. And then you voted for somebody and you thought, what was I thinking? I know a lot of people who've only voted Republican or only voted Democrat their whole life. So I haven't had any voting regrets. Every vote I've cast, I mean, I did vote for Mitt Romney, but what were my other option wasn't much better. Now, another story I wanted to let you guys know about. We talked a little bit about the Golden Globes last week, or was it maybe it was earlier this week? The time is starting to blur together. The Golden Globes, NBC will not be airing them. And their reasoning was, well, the Hollywood foreign press is not diverse enough, or they're racist. Or
I've never heard of such a brutal and shocking injustice that I cared so little about.
Yeah, no, I know. But stick with me here for a sec. And of course, we're thinking, well, it's not that the Hollywood foreign press is racist. It's that nobody watches. Nobody watches. I always say, silver lining. You see all these articles about all the silver linings of the pandemic. I don't go for those as much, like the commercials where it says, we're farther apart, and yet we're closer together. But if I did have to say one silver lining, it's that we really know now how little people care about Hollywood, and I just love seeing it. Like, I think the entire business of these movies, Hollywood things, it's going to be obsolete. And honestly, the best TV shows are the ones, you know, the British ones, and, you know, kind of not the American Netflix big budget stuff. That stuff kind of is crap. But I was laughing because they said, oh, well, you know, NBC's not going to air the Golden Globes because it's so racist, or whatever their reasoning was. And I'm thinking, well, it was the ratings that's the reason. You know, you're kind of missing the lead there. You're burying the lead. And then I see this story today. Ellen DeGeneres, I'm ending show because it's not a challenge anymore.
Sure, that's why you're ending it.
I would argue it is a challenge. I would say when your ratings start to drop, that's when it really becomes challenging. When you start losing viewers en masse, that is when you separate the talk show hosts from the not talk show hosts. Ellen DeGeneres is ending her talk show after 19 seasons, more than 3,000 episodes, and a flurry of toxic workplace allegations. The beloved turned beleaguered talk show host is calling it quits amid the claims of unkind behavior and bullying, as well as reports of a significant dip in sponsors and ratings. But she says, when you're a creative person, you constantly need to be challenged. And as great as this show is and as fun as it is, it's just not a challenge anymore. Well, Kelly Clarkson's show seems to be challenging her show as far as ratings go. But who am I to say? You know, I don't understand the creative work ethic of these Hollywood types. Now, when we get back, we have more to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about the border. And we will take all your calls, 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.